What a time to be alive, man. Apparently, we have an ageless beauty contest in South Africa. I didn't even know about this. I didn't know this was a real thing. But apparently a whole lot of older ladies, let's put it that way, are strutting their stuff on the catwalk in Togoza. Yes, they feature prayer, music, and a stand against domestic violence among their things. Here's one of those ladies in that beauty contest in Togoza. I mean, I don't have a problem with this. I don't think anyone would have a problem with this. Seems like these ladies are enjoying themselves. You know, and a beauty pageant's a big thing in South Africa. It doesn't matter what community you're in. There's always some misses something or another. I mean, look at these gogos. They're getting their makeup on.
I love it.
Getting their outfits on. Yeah.
You know, there's a Zulu saying, "Kuko Tandai," which basically means, how do I translate it in English? Or the essence of that is like you age because you want to. Right?
So like graceful aging.
Yes, right? And so like you do things that keep you young. So it doesn't matter how old you are.
And you can have a beauty pageant in your 70s. Look at these these ladies.
So like I think this is beautiful. Like, you know, you're only as old as you feel. There we go. That's the English.
I mean, there's a part of me that says you ladies should rather have a sewing club or a church group or singing. But they want a beauty pageant. Who the hell am I to argue?
Let them live their best life. I'm for it. You'll find that they have a lot of wisdom. And in fact, these are the beauty pageant.
I can see you running the beauty pageant in your 60s.
I could do that, definitely. Yeah,
the Simpium Tetwa beauty pageant.
Definitely. And I'll have all the wisdom and knowledge.
And you have a makeup line.
Come on now. Yeah. And teaching the young girls what to do, what not to do. You know? Like, I think I would take, like, whoever wins this pageant more seriously, because what they have to say would be like, oh, okay, you've lived a life worth of sharing, what pearls of wisdom?
Rather these ladies than beauty queen who's 19 and wants to solve world peace.
Not even that. So I don't know if you've seen, Michelle Obama has like started a podcast or is doing the rounds, and she's just been complaining. And, like, complaining and complaining. So like for I can't listen to her anymore. So I'd rather listen
to her. What has she got to complain about?
Being the first lady, how they had to pay for everything, how they didn't make money.
What are you talking?
Oh my gosh.
These people are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They live in a mansion in Martha's Vineyard. They've got their own. They've got sea frontage. They've got a chef. They've got a person. Hang on. They killed their chef. No, I mean, the chef was found dead. What's she complaining about?
Oh, she's complaining. Like, there's a part in her podcast where she details how in the White House you pay for everything, right? Except for the staff. You pay for your own travel if it's not with the president. So anything outside of the presidency.
Good. Our politicians should do the same. Don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you're not traveling with the president, you pay for your own food. And the only thing you actually don't pay for is the staff in the White House. But everything else is on you, and whatever you eat, whatever
you
do.
But she's got lots of money, so what's she talking about?
I know, right? And then how she was complaining about how, you know, when they campaign for the presidency, how all that money is your own money that you have to somewhat, conjure up. And
what is she? Are you serious?
Like, I'm serious.
Okay.
She's been going around, and she's, like, also been doing interviews, and it's like, it's annoying to see.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, the average American, let's not even say American. Someone here in this place, South Africa, listening to or watching, someone who's gone to the very top. She was the first lady of the United States.
Come on.
You've done great. Like, Michelle, take the rest of your life off. You've done okay.
Yes.
You live extremely well now. You could call up anyone on earth and they'll take your call.
Yeah.
Anyone. You can go anywhere. You can go on holiday now for months at a time if you like. You can write books. You can do podcasts. You can do whatever you want. By the way, I just have to say, a little bit late to the podcast game. You should have given me a call 10 years ago. But okay. So she's doing a podcast now where she complains. You know, the people listening to that podcast are facing the bank coming to take their house away, their petrol in their cars run out if they have a car, they can't afford the school fees, the price of food has gone up and they're struggling to make ends meet. There are all kinds of debit orders that are going off and not enough cash in the account. And you want to complain about paying for food in the White House every now and then. I'm like, is this really – I mean, are you trying to make yourself seem worse to people or better? Because this is not a great way to make yourself seem better.
And this whole thing of trying to be relatable needs to stop.
Meghan Markle.
It just needs to stop, because at some point you stopped being relatable, and that's okay. Your life is different to the average person.
You're a rich elite person.
Yes.
You must.
And it's okay.
That's fine. We have nothing in common with you anymore.
Yeah, and that's okay. But don't try now dumb it down and be like, oh my gosh, we have to pay for everything. It's so hectic. It's like,
you think that's
the
what she's doing?
Yes, and that's how it came across, because she's not just complaining about the White House. She was also talking about like, oh, should you marry or date a broke man? She's like, I did it. It's like, wait a minute. You and Barack Obama weren't necessarily broke in the first place.
No.
You guys went to Ivy League varsities.
Right.
So there is a difference in terms of when you say something, right? And when the average person is talking about a broke man.
Yeah.
This man always had a plan to do great things. He was always going to be great with or without you. And same with her. She was always going to do great things with or without. So stop doing this thing of you want to be relatable to the everyday man. You guys are not. Your story, eh.
And then it backfires. Like I said, the person listening is going through shit. And they don't hear that as you're trying to relate to me. They're like,
"It's very passionate.
This person is an idiot."
Yes.
Because they don't understand a goddamn thing of how the world works.
Yes.
Right. Because you are living in a rarefied way. It's not like anyone else. Honestly, I don't understand why she's even doing a podcast. We don't need you to be relevant. You don't want to run for office. You've already told us that.
Yes.
So she, unless she's lying and she's using this to stay relevant for some reason... But really, you don't have to, Michelle. Relevant for who? Like, I don't think anyone is standing around waiting for someone else to be relevant. People have got busy lives. They have really important things to worry about, things that affect them on a daily basis.
Mm.
You have an incredible story. We've heard it now. You've written a couple of books. You've been on a couple of interviews. You've got friends, powerful friends all over the world. You can hop on a yacht and you could be gone for 6 months.
Come on.
And no one's going to worry. No one's sitting there going, oh, if we don't have her there in that meeting, how will we get this budget approved? No one's saying that, because they don't need you. If you're invited to be on a board, or you've started a foundation or a charity or something, awesome. Maybe it's doing great work.
Hmm.
But it'll be fine if you're not there. There are probably competent people who can handle that for you.
Yes.
Go and enjoy your life. You know, it's like I don't understand how people who've made billions of dollars, they want to keep on being in the game until their dying day. And
no.
And maybe it's an energy thing that I don't understand.
No.
But there's got to be a point where you go, I'm having a very, very successful, good time here. But now I'm going to clear out of the way, spend time with my grandkids, and enjoy my life.
Yes. It's...
Read them stories at night. Sit by the fire.
Yes.
You know,
live your best life. It's something that I learned in varsity. Is like, you have to acknowledge the point of when you stop being the underdog, right? Mm-hmm. And when you've made it in life and now you are the guy that people want to be.
Right.
And when you acknowledge that, it's going to be so much nicer, so much better.
And
you live a life that is totally different from you always trying to prove or like... Michelle Obama, you don't need to prove anything
to us. No,
you've been at the very top.
And that's also a good place to, as you say, stop thinking of yourself as the underdog. Accept that you've won at life.
Yes.
And go and enjoy yourself.
You know, now we aspire to be the first ladies. We're like, Michelle, you did it. We can do it.
Right.
We can do it. You don't need to. Now, like what you're leaving behind, your legacy. Where I'm like, Oh, you're going to complain about paying.
And sometimes the best thing to do with the legacy is leave it the hell alone.
Yes.
Quietly. There's also something amazing, and I have such respect and admiration for people who just quietly go off into a private existence
Please.
That none of us know about. You know, Barbara Walters went dilly. She lost her mind eventually, but no one saw her. For years before she died, she just quietly was looked after by the family, the friends. She was visited by people very close to her. There was no press coverage. There were no photographs, no videos of her stumbling down the street with a Zimmer frame. No one wants to see that shit. Just quietly disappear. It's so dignified. It's the right thing to do it because, like paying your TV license, it's the right thing to do.
Look at you, Mr. Ambassador.
All right. There's a new diamond. I know how girls always love a new diamond. So this one's a rare blue diamond that has fetched 397 million rand. Look at it. At an auction in Geneva. I can see you're already in love, Simpiwe.
I am.
Is that the only picture you got of it? Like? Wow. Okay, but you can see that is a fantastic stone. So it's about, how many carats are we talking here? 10.3 carats, that's what it is. It's called Mediterranean Blue. Ooh. It's sold at Sotheby's in Geneva, which is a great place to buy diamonds.
Where did they find it, though?
It was mined in our Cullinan mines. It was showcased globally before the sale. It drew all kinds of excitement before they even went to auction. And apparently, the head of jewels for Sotheby's North America, Europe, and the Middle East. Imagine that's your job.
Sure.
Yeah. He said at the Abu Dhabi show, his name is Quig Bruning. Quig Bruning. What a job. You just deal with beautiful gemstones from all over the world.
Ooh.
Quite cool, huh? You're the head of jewels.
Huh? Ooh. Ooh, your contact list.
Find us a picture of Quig Bruning. I'd be interested to know what this guy looks like.
His contact list must be so interesting.
Right.
Because he doesn't talk to people that are not serious.
No, and they call him. They're like, "Hi, Quig. I've got $200 million to spend on a jewel. What do you got for me?" Mm-hmm. So anyway, after serving as an auctioneer at Tuesday's event, he hailed the gem as undoubtedly, listen to this, the defining stone of the season. Whatever that means, in a statement that it ranks among the top blue diamonds ever sold.
Ooh.
397 million rand. Yeah. Okay, so have you found a picture of Quig? Okay, let's take a look at Quig Bruning.
Ooh, I'm ready. Like, we can be besties.
I think that would be amazing. As you say, the contact list, the kinds of, you fly all the way to LA or London or Riyadh or wherever. And you have a little velvet thing that you unroll, and inside of it is a nice little blue diamond. Oh. And you go, this tiny little thing, which I actually just kept, there he is, there's Quig Bruning.
Yeah, see, he looks like a...
He looks like he could be working for the Bulls rugby PR department, right?
Yeah, he looks like a Fanamerva, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he does. Maybe he's also a refugee. So, all right. This little diamond is worth... those 40 people's houses. Okay? Plus some.
Oh, my gosh.
Just think about this one. So this one was 397 million rand.
I wonder what his commission is. Yes, I'm so impressed about this
one. I wonder, I mean, the most expensive house ever sold in South Africa is probably less than that.
Yeah.
So this, just think about how wild this is. There's the auction.
Sure.
Think about how wild this is. So... a little stone, a stone that has been hidden in the ground here in South Africa. It's probably the size of 10.3 carats. That's a fairly big stone. It's probably the size of your thumbnail. Okay? Maybe a little bit bigger. That is worth more than the most expensive house sold in South Africa.
Oh.
I mean, look it up. Check me on this because I don't know what the most expensive house sold in South Africa might be. Might be 500 million, but that would be half a billion rand. We would have heard about that. I'm thinking, that. There's, look at that thing, Simpiwe. Imagine being the jeweler had to cut it, and you know that if you don't cut it right and you break it in half by mistake.
The pressure.
Because that can happen.
Yes. But also being the person to carry that around.
That's beautiful, though.
It is. Like, you carrying, like, generations in your pocket. Uh-huh. It has to travel and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wonder what the insurance on that would be. Okay. There we go. Most expensive house ever sold in South Africa, 290 million. That's 100 million less than that stone.
Yes, you guys.
Mm-hmm. So don't say that we don't have a country with lots of opportunity. Some of it's buried in the ground. Yeah, someone dug this shit out with their hands, right?
Ew, man. And you know what's crazy? I'm like in awe of like this guy and his job. Someone bought that.
Be in awe of them.
And someone they never comfortably afford that and be like,
it's probably Michelle Obama. She's just not talking about it. Because that would be the dignified thing to do, is just suddenly arrive at a party and people go, oh, nice ring.
Yeah.
Thelma, when'd you get that? Oh, it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing that my husband decided to surprise me with because he'd been cheating on me with the housekeeper. I don't know. Yeah, you never know the story, but I'd love to make it up. I'd love to hear what you think that story is.
Yes.
Pretty incredible. Okay, so the thing on your hand is worth 200 million, then you won't have a hand for long. It depends where you are.
And if people know, that's the thing.
Yeah, a diamond heist on Netflix, a good watch. Gareth, stop cucking for the SABC. Yeah, because I pay.
Yes, a law-abiding citizen.
I paid my license.
All right.
It's the right thing to do.
A round of applause for Gareth Cliff. Yay!
So this is amazing. So if you need to search for a young crypto billionaire to buy it for you or from you. The diamond, that is. That's from Bitcoin, but...
From Dodge.
Do you know who bought it? We don't. We have no idea. Most expensive house sold last year for 700 million in Camps Bay. Is that right? 700 million. Okay. That must be a hell of a house. Cool.
Oksalayo, that ring. That, not a ring.
It's almost the same. Right. That's diamond.
That diamond. That is the small thing.
Okay.
A couple of hectares.
Time to get to work down in the mines, says Dave. Yeah, I'm telling you, this down in the mines, this is where it really...
But the money's not in you actually doing the physical labor. Let's be honest.
No, those people didn't get paid.
They probably got 100 rand.
Yeah.
They probably got 100.
Yeah.
Maybe 200 because it was that big. That's it.
Yeah, not being in the mines.
Not being...
I would love to live in a glass house and have someone throw that stone at my house. Yes, that would be quite a good stone to have thrown at your house. Gareth paying his TV license is putting money in his own retirement account.
You paid it though.
Not sure about that. I think I lost money on that deal.
And you're going to keep on losing money. I'll tell you now. Next year you have to pay again.
P. Diddy would put it in his ear. Now let's get onto this because Simpiwe has been watching. She's been our correspondent on the P. Diddy story. So this is what I know so far from what I saw on TV on Wednesday night.
Yes.
That the trial has started.
Yes, it has.
That Diddy's girlfriend was there.
Yes.
With her BBL.
BBL Drizzy.
In the court. She didn't look at P. Diddy once. She only looked at the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
She broke down once or twice. She told stories about how these freak-offs would sometimes go on for days.
Yeah, that's Cassie.
And we haven't heard how much baby oil was involved.
A lot of baby oil.
A huge amount of baby oil.
Lots of baby oil.
We haven't heard names yet, or have we?
No names have been said except, no, I lied. There has been one name. Something King, Shook Knight.
Oh, wow.
How Cassie acknowledges that there is a beef or there was a beef between the two. And that's basically it. And she's basically been recounting their relationship of 10 years.
Now, remember, she was the one who was dragged down the corridor by her hair.
Yes.
In that infamous video. And Diddy kicked her and hit her.
Yes.
So he's a real son of a bitch with her.
Yes. They've shown like the unedited... version of that video, which is like 15 minutes long, and you kind of see her, because the question that the prosecutor, is it the prosecutor? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That has been asking is, why did you not leave? You were with him for 10 right. years. And she just kept saying she was in love. And it was difficult for her to leave because in that video, she was like, that was a perfect example of her trying to leave. And like literally, Diddy would grab her. He beat her. And in other cases where she managed to go back home, the bodyguards would fetch her. So like even his staff was involved in some of like making sure that like she was kept. So they never stayed together, which was a very interesting fun fact. They never stayed together, but he was always in close proximity to her. So she had an apartment.
So it was controlling.
Yes. And he had the keys to her apartment.
Oh, wow.
And if she did things that he didn't like, he would send either a bodyguard or a staff to fetch her. And then he would kind of reprimand her. And it didn't start off like that. So the relationship, I think,
does,
yeah,
hey.
Like a year or two, once you know you've fallen in love, that's when he introduced sure. the free coughs, and then that's when it got worse. There was urination that took place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like the longest free cough was like 4 days. Yeah. And it's been very, like, interesting to see because she's recounting this. She's pregnant in her third trimester. She's married
with
now.
With his kid?
No.
Oh.
No, she's married to like really amazing guy who they're still kind of having a back and forth if he's allowed to be there to listen to her testimony because they might actually call him out to be a witness
sure.
or to testify. His kids are there, which is also interesting, Diddy's kids.
Uh-huh.
And at some point of Cassie's testimony, they actually like left. They left the court.
I think it must be... He's on suicide watch, right?
Yes, he is.
So we know how that goes, how it worked out for Jeffrey Epstein. But I think we just got to cut to the chase here. People don't really care about any of the details here. They want to know who was there.
Yes, so I
who
think...
Who are the people who took part in the freak-off?
Yes, so right now it's been very light in terms of it's been Cassie, Diddy, and the escorts, right? And
yeah, they've whores.
Yes, whores that whores. She had to pick.
4 doors more
and he,
whores.
And he liked them black
that's
and big.
There's a sign at Diddy's house that says 4 doors more whores.
Mm-hmm.
There are literally 4 doors you could go in.
Yes, they haven't yet gone into the P. Diddy parties, right?
Oh.
So this is just so far. It's just the
and he liked the whores big, you say, and black.
Yes.
Okay.
That was his type.
Hey, Zulu girls, you've got some chance here.
So,
what's our girls?
Hey, it's still early days. I don't think Cassie's testimony has been very damning in terms of. For us as the public, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know. But I think it's going to be the parties that tell us what kind of.
I remember seeing that video and it was very disturbing, and it's not nice to see anyone being treated like that. But, you know, the fact that this is a guy who got away with that sort of behavior because he was rich and famous.
Yes.
Nobody's idea of justice.
Yeah.
And now he's finally, you know, justice, the wheels, they may turn slowly, but they eventually turn. And I do think most people are just curious because they just want to know who was in those parties. Just so they could say, oh, she's bad or he's bad or whatever.
Yes. And the one person I do call to take the stand here in South Africa is our very own DJ PH. He was at one of those parties. Dude, my God, come on, tell us the truth.
Simpiwe is
come
making
on,
allegations.
Tell us the truth. It's not allegations.
No,
it's,
we've got photographs.
Yes, we have evidence that he was at one of those parties. All I'm saying is come take
have
the stand.
Have you asked him when he's in the office?
I'm going to come. Here's the stand right next to me. And tell us what happened, sir.
Well,
what happened?
I will tell you that producers James and Flex have been trying to get PH off of the Shady Podcast just one day to come and sit with us. And what has happened? He doesn't wake up that early because he's at freak offs.
You know, come on now, sir. Clear your name.
PH.
Clear all the allegations.
PH, we want
clear it up.
People have got to know.
We want to know the truth. And you're the only one who can provide the truth, who
right.
was there, and you are a fellow, you know, South African. You have your own podcast on the Shady, you know, podcast here on the Real Network. Pull through, sir.
All right. I do want to move on to something else because we were talking about a 397 million rand, what would you call it, diamond, the
yes.
gemstone, a jewel.
Yes.
But Trump was offered a 400 million jet.
Yes. Boeing jet.
Yeah, a free plane.
Yes, it's
and the Qataris, who obviously are trying to schmooze Trump up. And I mean, this is clever on their part, right?
It's gorgeous, though.
This is so clever because Trump is the kind of guy, oh, you're giving me a gift. I love a gift, a tremendous gift, incredible gift. It's my favorite thing to get a gift. He goes, I never look a gift horse in the mouth. And that's what he's telling people. So a lot of people in America are losing their minds. They're like, how could you accept a jet from, he goes, they're going to give us a free plane. Are you giving me a free plane? No, you're not. I'll take a free plane. Anyway, people are losing their minds. They're going like, oh, this is a bribe. They're going to use it to try and influence policy, all that kind of thing. Sure. But they could also just give him the plane and he just says, thanks, I'll have the plane. And that's that.
But this is politics. This happens all the time.
Sure it does.
It happens all the time. People mustn't be shocked. Hey, every president always gets gifts.
Yeah, right? But I mean a $400 million.
I mean, this might be the most expensive gift, you know, that has been gifted.
What I would do, and I wondered about this, if I received a plane from a foreign government and I was the president, I would have the Secret Service scan and strip and take out and rebuild and check for every kind of listening device, secret hidden things.
I'd re-gift it.
You'd re-gift it. So you would. You just say thanks very much.
Thank
I'll
you.
I'll hand it on.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell them that, but I'd gift
well,
it.
Well, I
to...
think they'd know if you're selling a plane on the open market. Are you going to secretly put that in some wrapping paper and send it to your friend?
Not maybe worst enemy. You know, because as you're saying, like I wouldn't trust the plane. That's the thing. So I wouldn't want to keep it. I'd feel like maybe it's one of those where. It's better if I don't have it, but it's rude to say no to a gift.
All right.
You know? So you just
so take it and then you'd re-gift it.
To an enemy.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
Maybe that's what
whatever
do.
That it whatever it does for you. Have fun.
Well, he's I mean, this the, in a related story, he's signed a historic aviation deal with Qatar.
It's not by mistake.
Yep, during his visit to Qatar, President Donald Trump oversaw the signing of a historic aviation deal between Boeing and Qatar Airways, making the largest order in Boeing's history. Okay, well, Boeing's an American company. They're selling planes to Qatar, so this seems to be a good deal for America. The deal involves 210 aircraft with a valuation of $96 billion. So what's a $400 million jet then?
Nothing.
Zero. It's like a sweetener. Anyway, apparently, they're enhancing economic ties between the U.S. and Qatar. Additionally, Trump was honored as the first American president to officially visit the country, receiving significant ceremonial welcomes. There was a strange welcome that was given. See if you can find this video. I think it was in Saudi Arabia of a whole lot of women like waving their hair back and forth. I wave my hair back and forth.
Oh, okay.
And guys with swords behind the women in a slightly menacing display because you're like, if those guys at the swords weren't there, would those girls be so excited to be doing this hair thing that they were doing?
No.
It's just a straight, look, you know, different cultures.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of shit going down.
Hey.
I don't understand half of it.
Mm.
They had these women with the hair and the guys with the swords. It's just very strange. See if you can find a video of that for everybody to have a look at because it's bizarre. Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about this too. We've got desks in the office for everybody. I don't know if you know about this.
Okay.
You don't? So everyone in the office has a desk. And
okay.
We're going to evaluate now as part of the show this morning how everyone's desk looks. You don't have anything to be embarrassed or worried about.
Whoa.
All right. Are you gonna give me random desks and then we're going to have to guess who it is? Or are we going
disclaimer.
To announce whose desk
Wait,
it is and
disclaimer,
then talk about
disclaimer, the
it.
Desks that are shown do not represent the views of Simpurum Teta. Even if my desk
see.
Is there.
Just wait and see, all right? So, yeah, you're getting all nervous for nothing. Yeah, no problem. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll get to that.
Okay. I don't like where this is going, but hey.
Are you nervous?
I am.
There's hardly anything on your desk.
Yeah, on a good day.
No, your desk is pretty neat and tidy.
But you never know. Like you
some
never
people here, whose desks look like a dog's breakfast.
I'm a bit nervous. I'm a bit nervous. So like, okay.
All right. So that's coming up. We'll get to that in a second. There's no need for you to stress, Simpiwe.
Okay.
Calm down.
Okay.
And you've got some new series that you're watching that you've got to tell us about. Because this is the place where we share all the series that we watch.
To give credit, it's all thanks to Marvin Cohen. Oh. He plugged me onto this brilliant series. And I'm in love. I'm like deep in it. I'm only 8 episodes. No,
what's
7.
It called?
Mobland.
Mobland.
Yeah. Don't ask me where you stream it because I got it illegally. Don't ask me those questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's brilliant. I'm only up to episode 7.
Sure.
And I think it's a 10 episode series. I could be mistaken. It's season 1. Absolutely brilliant. It stars Tom Hardy, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And it's about two families. It's about two families. I can share this. Two families who are obviously gangster. And the one kid and the grandson of the basically Romeo and Juliet vibes.
I was going to say Montagues and Capulets.
Yes, they basically befriend each other. And then the one kid dies.
Ooh.
So now
a war
needs to take place now. And that's basically what takes place is like, who killed the kid? We're trying to find out who killed the kid, who's behind it. And obviously, like, there's a lot going on in terms of the backgrounds, in terms of finding out who killed the kid, but what's happening.
Where is it set?
In the UK. There's a lot of, like, you fucking cunt.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great. Okay, so it's foul language. We'll
foul
win.
Foul language. The action is great. It's very simple, nothing too out there, but brilliant.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mobland.
Brilliant. Episode 1 takes a bit of time for you to get into it, so watch episode 2 immediately afterwards, and then you're going to be hooked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver says, damn, good show. Well, thank you, Beaver. We were talking about trimming Beaver earlier this morning, so you look out because we're coming for you. All right. Hatfields and McCoy's vibe storyline, very similar.
Yeah.
Somebody says here that it's in the Ray Donovan universe. People are guessing about your desk already. Do you want to hear what they think?
Oh, gosh. I'm so nervous.
And Azalea says she's just watched it. It's brilliant.
It is. Okay, so don't ruin the other episodes.
Congo
that I
Chris
watched.
Says, I bet Simpiwe has an AfriForum sticker on her desk, and that's why she's worried.
How do you know?
So should we get into these things?
We are ready, yeah.
Okay, so put up a random desk and we'll try to guess who it is. If it's someone on the staff that the audience don't know, we'll explain. Okay, go. All right, so this is...
I know whose desk that is.
There's a Pickle Rick mug.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of old water bottles.
Yeah.
There's a mpahla there from Chagas.
Yeah, okay.
There's some other, that laptop with that sticker on, which I also recognize. And then there's a fan that operates under that laptop because it works very hard.
Yes.
And let's not forget that little tub of Vaseline.
Which is very important.
So I'm going to say this is a black person's desk.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to say it's a man's desk.
Okay.
I'm going to say that man is Flex.
Correct.
Am I right?
Ting ting.
Okay.
I knew Very, that.
It's not a bad desk, though. I mean, you can see the guy works.
Hard.
Right? There's stuff happening there.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's too clean and tidy, you always worry. And if it's too messy, you definitely worry.
Okay.
Rather clean and tidy, though. I know you're getting nervous because you're a clean and tidy person.
Yes. I like
All right,
my desk.
Let's
clean.
Have another one.
Let's go.
Jeez. Okay, now this.
Two screens.
Two
Ooh,
screens.
There's
and
a water
bottle. You
can bottle.
See Wandy in the background there, so we know it's not
it's
his.
It's not Wandy's.
By the way, he's positioned perfectly. This is a great photograph.
I know. Put me in, Coach. Put me in. I know who's
okay,
this.
Okay, go for
this
it.
This is, there's two headsets. There is a water bottle. It is the one and only Georgina, who is an editor of ours.
That's correct. And she's a superb editor. And look at how organized that space is. Because to be an editor, you have to sit for long hours in front of the screen, clipping things together, cutting them, editing, moving shit around, listening to music. Sometimes you're in your own world while you're getting those clips out. And she's got headphones on.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll talk to her and she'll just not even know that I'm there.
Yes.
right?
They do that. They live in their own bubble.
But Georgina, that's a very busy desk indeed. Okay, then we've got another one. Oh, what a mess. Okay, this is a disaster. So what is that thing on the left? I know this is a big box that was delivered for me, but it's been put on this person's desk. What is that thing on the left?
On the left? Isn't it Batman?
It's like a little statue. Oh, yeah, that's the Batman Funko Pop thing.
Yes.
Then there's a world globe, which we used on set for a while. Two books, which no one's read.
Yeah.
Some shit in the background. There's the Leo DiCaprio meme from Django.
Anyone want to take a guess?
You want to guess. I know you know what this is.
I know who's this.
Let's see. Let's see if anyone can guess it. If it's organized, it can't be James, Gareth, Ben. Oh, yeah. I don't have a desk. I don't even have a desk.
Fun fact.
I don't. I don't have an office or a desk here.
Yeah.
I don't. When I have to have meetings, I have to book a meeting room. That's sometimes true. It's just me and one person in a huge big meeting room.
That's so true.
But I don't want an office or a desk. It's too much responsibility. It's not Ben, no. A Windows PC at The Real Network. There are some. Some of us use those. Yes. Some of the programs we use are better on there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's James. Goon got it right. Bitcoin Boot got it right. Well done, guys. It's James.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a disaster of a desk. In fact, it doesn't look any different. When was that photograph taken? Yesterday? Yesterday. Okay, so it doesn't look any different
horrible.
Today. So
horrible.
Nothing's been done there.
I shouldn't be talking.
Yeah, next. Oh, but this is a dead giveaway because that's Wendy sitting there, right?
No, but it's not Wendy's.
It's not Wendy's desk. Okay, all I see is a multi-plug and a LGBTQ water bottle and another checkers in
pasta. That's the giveaway, the LGBTQ.
So that's Nomkebo, huh?
Thank you.
Okay, that's Noms. So Nomkebo is, yeah, I mean, listen. I don't think a whole lot's happening there. Is that her? Is that her notebook there or is that Wendy's?
It's hers.
Oh, so he's just pretending to be her. Okay. All right. I would have liked to have seen what's in the impasla, but okay, fine. All right. That's Noms. Let's go next.
Okay. Obvious.
Well, this one's a dead giveaway because there's Tian sitting at his desk with hard drives. This man fucking eats hard drives. You know, there is not a day... There is not a day that goes by that I don't worry about Tian and his hard drives.
Yeah, he has like one, two,
he has three so many.
Simpiwe, on him right
you must
now.
See how many emails I get from him about new hard drives, more hard drives. I think he stores them.
Hard drives are expensive, eh?
I think he stores them like in his pockets, in his lunchbox that you can see there. What is that? An Absa lunchbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Absa lunchbox, water bottle.
And his cup of coffee,
but there's also there's a plant. It's not a bad desk. It's not disorganized.
Yeah, but I have to say, Tian makes a mean cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's
one
right.
of the best.
And we're trying to get Tian to introduce you to the apartheid people who are going to make your biltong.
Yes, I'm all for it. I want to go to Aranya, guys. I think I could possibly meet the love of my life there, but I just want to go there for the vibe and taste the biltong. It has to be the best biltong in the world.
Okay. All right. So there's Tian at his desk. Nothing to be embarrassed about there. Just a ton of hard drives. What else? Oh, my
Marv.
God.
Okay. Marvinator.
So there's Marv. He looks like he's got a terrible headache or something, or else he's just sick of us. Also, a couple of hard drives, hey?
Yeah.
Cup of coffee, but very Spartan otherwise. There's not a lot going on there.
Yeah, he's the prankster-nator the office, so...
I think Marv has to keep his desk clear because sometimes people put stuff on it to punish him.
Yeah, because he pranks everyone.
He pranks everyone, so everyone pranks him.
Yes.
Okay, but there's Marv. He looks very stressed in that picture, though.
Ooh, not a good
look. Did he know
look.
You were taking this picture? No. Okay, all right. That's fine. Nothing exciting to see there.
That's Amos.
This is Amos. Okay.
So with the vape even. Oh my gosh.
The vape. This is the guy who we explained. So Amos is also one of our editors. He explained the skr guy to
he
us.
He understood him perfectly.
He understood everything.
Like he was like, oh yeah. This is what he just said.
He knew all about that. That's how he talks. Amos is quite fashion forward.
Yeah, wearing clothes that are like triple his size.
Yeah, but he's got a look.
Yeah.
And he's probably the youngest.
Yeah, I think he's a Gen Z. He's a proper Gen Z.
All right, so he understands.
Yeah, he
all
keeps
this
us young. Yeah. When I don't understand anything, I go to him.
Okay, but that's not bad. The good desk, a lot of work happens there.
Yeah, it's okay. It could do with a bit of a tidy.
All right.
The mama in me is coming
all
out
right
to be like,
let's go next.
Me.
This is Simpiwe's desk. This is a dead giveaway as well.
Yes.
See, you guys, you didn't make the game that I hoped it would be. But Simpiwe's got nothing there except the
my
stuff
notebook
she brings.
Yes, my notebook, my cup of coffee, and my laptop. And then, as you guys can see, just in the background, my Stanley cup.
Ah, yes. But that Stanley cup lives here.
Yes.
Because you've got another one that you drag around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be that girl. You have to have different bottles for different occasions, you know? Like, there's a Stanley cup for here at work.
That's right.
There's one for the house. There's one for the car. Like, you just have to be that girl. And if you want to buy me a Stanley, don't stop. Do it.
All right. So, let's just see here. The laptop is far too small for Tian. Get that man a boot-sized laptop. Probably a good idea. Books that have never been read was definitely James's desk. A hard drive for every porn category, says Dirk. Well, we know what you would use it for then. Bitcoin, but just warning you, you can't use rands in Aranya. You need the aura.
It's fine. Hook me up, somebody. I just want to go. I'm ready. I can Afrikaans praat the biggie.
Okay, so people are enjoying this. Very insightful to learn about the bigger team and all the people on the staff. Oh. Yeah, there are more people here than you know about.
Yeah.
And a lot of them do very important things that you see on social media, the clips that you see, a lot of the cut downs, the paid for stuff. These are the people who make it happen. Okay, lots of Vaseline in these photos. Is this better than baby oil? You don't understand. Flex can explain this, but I'll do it for him. We don't want ashy elbows.
Or lips,
right? We don't want to look like we're drying out like prunes in the winter. And this doesn't just go for the black men, but it's good that they are taking care of themselves. Right, Simpiwe?
That is very true. That is very, very true. Yeah. No ashiness shall be allowed in this office, you know. And that's basically it.
Dirk says, James obviously took these pictures, has the person in almost every photo. Good guessing game, James. Are there any left? Okay. All right. That's Noms, but she's not at her desk.
That's Wendy.
That's Wendy's desk.
I can tell with this kaftan. There's a bit of a plant in the background. He also has two.
That's an organized desk, though, huh? A lot of screens.
Yes, a lot of screens. His keyboard is so cool. It makes like these cool sounds. So I am obsessed with keyboard sounds. And like you type on different keyboards, you'll hear different sounds. And his one makes the best sound. It's a bit loud. You can hear
it. Tuck, 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 tuck. Okay.
And they don't like it, but I love it. Like, I could type on that keyboard all day, every day.
People are saying, what is up with all this Vaseline? Is this P. Diddy's basement,
office? Okay.
No. The air is dry in Jersey. That's true. Thank you very much, Dave. And then, no lip ice for lips, says Migs. Vaseline's better.
Yeah.
James was the kid who played hide and seek in plain sight. Guys, I've hidden, but he's right there. Okay. Is that it?
That should be it.
Last one.
Oh, Santa. Okay. She has a sanitizer.
What is going on? What is that thing there? It looks like a big, that blue bottle. What is that?
It's a water bottle.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's a water bottle.
And she's got hand sanitizer.
Yes. So she's still living in COVID times. But as you guys can see.
She's still living in COVID times. There's a guy on the plane next to me on the way to Durban in a mask. It's like, why?
That's a throwback.
I'm okay if other people want to wear masks. Because frankly, then you don't breathe or cough or, you know, you might have terrible breath. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wear a mask. If I don't know you, go ahead, wear a mask.
Do you? It feels like a throwback when I see people with a mask. And yeah.
Right,
but also, as you guys can see, we like to stay hydrated in this office.
There's a lot of water bottles. And we've got a water machine there.
Yes.
One of those, what do they call them? Dispenser.
Yes.
Water dispenser.
Yeah. guess.
But people are also fairly addicted to coffee in this office.
Yeah, we also are a bit bougie because we don't drink regular milk.
Oh,
we drink barista milk.
And it's worth saying that in our office, because I've always complained about coffee for years, right? Because it's been like instant. The shit that makes you blind or whatever. Now, we have a proper machine with the machine that makes that grinds the beans.
Yes.
Then we've got the machine that you do the
yes.
And the
oh, yes.
The foam, the milk foam thing. And KB's actually a barista. He's done a course and everything.
So he makes coffee.
Yeah, it's really good. Only problem is that only opens up at what, like 9?
Yeah.
So if you come here before 9 o'clock, like if you're a guest on the show, James just makes you the stuff that makes you go blind. It's the best we can do, right, James?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've gotten a bit bougie. Being here, you know,
good,
like
we need that.
Top tier coffee,
yeah, sure.
Top tier milk, top tier water, and making sure that we are not dry as well. You know, gotta not look ashy or like your
what
problems.
What is concerning is the 1 liter tub of Vaseline is obviously hidden away in the drawers. No, guys, you're being distracted by the Vaseline. There's nothing incriminating on any of these desks.
Nothing.
I love the way our audience immediately go diddy parties. Porn on the hard drives. All the bad shit, right?
You know, if they actually spent a day in the office, they might find out it's actually worse.
It's way worse. The things we talk about are way worse, right? Okay. James, you drive a lot of our conversation. Even if you don't feel it, we appreciate you most of the time. There's a nice comment from Dirk. Okay. If your coffee didn't come out of the end of a civet, you're living in the 90s. Stop it. Slippery pickle, that is outrageous. We do not need, what is that, capilluac or whatever it is. It's that fancy coffee that they get from that animal that shits out coffee beans.
Oh, Marvin told me about it. guys.
This is what you talk about in the office.
Yes, I mean, he's like, I think he's tried it or willing to try it. And, you know, I was like, that's not for me. Don't think I'll ever do that to myself.
No, it's not on my agenda either.
No.
All right, so there we go. We've played a little game of letting you into our office because the game itself was shit because you could see all the people in the pictures. But you got to see what the office, what the desks. I think people's desks tell you a lot about them.
Oh, yes.
I'll take a picture of my desk at home.
Okay.
Because I don't have a desk here. They don't allow me to have one. In fact, this isn't even mine. This gets taken away straight after the show and it gets used for something else. Right?
That is true.
So I don't even have this desk.
But I will say I do judge people's desks if they have like if they make it too personalized. Like there's like a photo frame, there's like some flower things, there's this and that, and you're like, ma'am, you don't live at work. Like, take this home. Take it home. It's okay.
So I was in an office for some company that do financial something or another the other day. You must see how people have decorated their little cubicles, okay? And it's these the boring people who do boring work every day.
Gosh.
But the amount of personalization in that little cubicle. Well, because they obviously spend a huge amount of time there. And they need to be reminded that they have a family and they need to be reminded that there's more to life because they obviously are not having a whole lot of fun.
I mean, it
didn't give happy vibes. It gave like shrine sad vibes.
But it also, like for me, it gives off, you're going to die at this place. Like,
oh my God.
Like, I like empty desks because that means you're up and going. We never know if you're going to come back or not.
Yeah.
Now that
you could be, you
personalized
could be out of
there.
Yeah, sure.
It means, you're going to be here for the next 30 years. This is your spot.
Congo Chris reckons that we have Jan Bichel playing on repeat in the office all the time. Is that true, James? We do sometimes. Ik gedaan warm land, even op vakantie. How does it go then? Lekker bakken in de zon. We've had it so many times in this office that I now know it by heart. Picture of the wife attracts the babes. Yeah. That's cool. I always find that weird. It's like when a guy, I bet you it's the wife who says, you have to put this picture of me up there. Just so that those other bitches in your office don't get too comfortable. I reckon that's where it comes from.
I doubt it.
No?
I doubt it. I think guys just do that because either they want to get more babes or they really love their wife.
So Goon says the sign of a cluttered desk, or a cluttered desk rather, is the sign of a cluttered mind.
Yeah, I agree.
And what about an empty desk? Is that a sign of an empty mind?
No, not at all. It just means you're neat and tidy and, you know.
If you spend 18-hour days in cubicles doing something you hate, then you need to bling up your coffin.
But, okay, what if a fire starts? What are you taking? What are you going to run off with? You can't take your whole desk. You see, at least my desk is empty. I take my laptop, I'm out.
All right. Coffee's wasted on me, too much for me. Says Migs, thirsty and dry at the Real Network. Need endorsement from Unilever. All right, so there we go. There's lots of suggestions about how we can improve our desks too. Thanks very much. We won't take any of those.
Yeah, my desk. Simpiwa's
not putting more effort in. I did notice two brass photo frames.
Oh, yeah, Senna got that. That's definitely not my vibe. Okay. No, that's not me. That's why it's empty even. Like, I really
there's no one in there.
There's nothing.
There are these two photo frames. Beautiful photo frames, but there's nothing in them. And there hasn't
believe
been.
I really don't.
She got them for you?
Yeah. One for me, one for her.
Oh, that's very sweet. You haven't put anything in it?
No, sir.
And so I it's just going to stay empty on your desk?
Of course.
How?
It's not. It's
James. Why don't you put a picture of her in there?
I sit next to her. That's creepy.
Why don't you put a picture of Flex or James in there?
I'm not dating them, so no.
Flex, don't you think that would be nice if she put a picture of you there? That'd be creepy. Oh, he says creepy. Yeah, I mean, I think just, you know.
I am a huge believer.
So you're just going to leave it empty?
Yes, keep your desk empty. If there's a fire, if you decide one day to
what
quit.
What kind of horrible world do you live in, Simpiwa, where there's a fire?
I live in the real world. I live in the real world. If there's ever a fire, if one day you ever decide, oh, fuck it, I'm done with this place, you can literally stand up and walk away. You don't need to now take off this, take off that, still be crying. No, you just stand up
and
leave.
And have a box that you put it all in.
Imagine.
You see these people in America, because you know you can fire anybody like easily there. And you see people out on the street in New York with their box, with all their shit from their desk.
I can't.
All their shit. Their coffee cup.
That can't be me.
You've got your own coffee cup.
Yeah, that's one cup. That's the cup and the laptop. I'm done.
That's it. You're on your way there. All right. Well, don't get too attached to your desk is Simpiwa's message of the day.
Or else you might die there, guys. And I'm not judging.
A miserable person you've become.
Do you? Don't listen to me, do you guys?
You could at least put someone in that goddamn frame. All right, happy Friday, y'all. Stay safe and blessed. See you all on Monday. Same picture, same place, same time. Thank you, Judas. You just put the words into my mouth. And I think that that's exactly what we got to do. Have a good weekend and stay warm because it's getting chilly.